Take a moment of silence opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity that you provided for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word that provides us with the spiritual information that we need to have in order to properly orient to our life in the devil's world and time by means of your power and grace. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information that is communicated would subsequently be made useful for recall and application, that we might glorify you as we deploy your Word into our experience. And we thank you now for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, a couple of passages for today. It was the same ones we used on Wednesday. This is basically a collage of verses stuck together that kind of represent what's going on in the devil's world. And then most of it was from Jesus' personal experience because of the fact that he was constantly contradicting the Jewish leadership because they were attempting to use the oral law as a means of establishing righteousness. And of course that was invalid. The only way righteousness is appropriated is by means of the Word of God, not the writings associated and supposedly designed to improve the Word of God. So that's what the verses were. Some of it comes from Matthew 23. This is where he came back before he was crucified. He came back and basically dressed them down. And then the other goes back to Mark 7, and then we conclude with one from Paul. It says in Matthew 23:24, and this is a word picture, a metaphor. You are blind leaders who choke on a gnat whilst devouring a camel. And so we see that in our world, where people call things that are actually sin good, and things that are actually not sin evil. You know, that's the inversion of thought that occurs in arrogance. Mark 7, he says, you worship me in vain, teaching not for commandments of men as doctrine. Of course, that was the oral law that they were superimposing over truth. And the big problem with doing that was that was what caused the Jews to reject Jesus as Messiah. Because the prophecies were designed to reveal Messiah to them, so they would be anticipating him when he came. And because they had perverted their understanding of the Word and missed out principally on grace, principle of grace, they missed who he was. They didn't recognize him. And a few that did were rejecting him because of didn't want to let go of their power. So it makes sense when you understand this. If you think about what teaching does, if someone's communicating about somebody and then when they come, they don't represent don't appear to represent what was being communicated, you could see where people would miss that. And that's we actually have that in our country today as well. The nation was founded on the basis of divine establishment through the Constitution. And we now have the perversion of thought where people are rejecting that whole thing. They're using straw men as a means of trying to relegate the founders into obscurity because of the so-called sins that they did that weren't sins, slavery being among them. Not that it was necessarily right the way something, that's not ever right sometimes, although it's interesting that the Word of God in the Mosaic Law actually defines a protocol for slavery within Israel. So it was something that has existed from the beginning because it's an economic status. I'm not going to say the church is what frees people when you get right down to it. The words I like to use to describe the church is that we are agnostic when it comes to those things. Regarding race, we are agnostic. We don't care. Regarding gender, we are agnostic. We don't care. Regarding social differentiations, we are agnostic. We don't care. Why? Because we are a new spiritual species. And of course, that is the basis for the rejection of slavery in the Western world. The Christian faith. That's it. And that's why Paul, when he entreated Philemon regarding Onesimus, did not order him to free Onesimus, but pleaded with him on the basis of being a brother in Christ, and Onesimus likewise being a brother in Christ. So what we have here is a unity because of what? The Word. Unity in doctrine. And because of that unity, Paul identified himself with Onesimus and Philemon. And he was hopeful that Philemon would have the doctrinal capacity to do the same. We don't know what happened. The answer, we have the letter to him, we don't have the response. So, but Onesimus had violated, he had actually stolen some things from Philemon and fled. And that's how Paul ran into him in Rome. So he was a criminal. And as such, in that society, was subject to the death penalty. We don't know what happened. But that shows you the basis for the view of slavery and that we have today. But today it's actually been inverted to the point where it's viewed as a greater sin than what things are really sins. I'm not going to say that it doesn't create opportunities, but everything creates opportunity for sin. It doesn't require slavery. It's just that creates a differentiation between people's power so that people can take advantage of it if they are of the mind to do that, which is, of course, evil. We'll talk about that later. He goes on to say, you have no regard for God's word of truth, and you demand compliance with human viewpoint. That's superimposing the oral law over the Mosaic law and the principles from the Tanakh. And in 2 Timothy 3:5, we have the result of this. You maintain a facade of spirituality, but you have rejected God's power. So these people present themselves as people who have authority in so-called spiritual matters, even though they don't. And so we have that. The political correctness in our country today is that. They have a facade. They are do-gooder, self-righteous, arrogant zealots who are crusaders for some form of human good that they believe supersedes truth. That's what we've got going on. And they're identifying with that rather than the truth of the Word of God. Because the Word of God would tell us where things are going and that this global warming is a bunch of crap. I mean, not that there might not be some, but if it is happening, it's not relevant. Again, that we're agnostic about that too, because it doesn't matter. God's plan for man is not determined by the temperature of the earth, and there's nothing we're going to do to affect it. It's going to roll out according to once the church age is over, which we don't know when happens. It rolls out prophetically for 1,007 years. Period. I mean, that's just the way it's locked down. There's no ambiguity whatsoever in Scripture. So that's how the diversion of thought occurs. So we're in the study of Satan's cosmic system. That's a system of arrogant demonic thinking. Of course, that's where the inversion of thought occurs, is with the demon. They invented it. Satan invented it, and he sold the fallen angels on it. And they bought the lie, and as a result, they commenced with the rebellion back before man was created. And, of course, we're an answer to that. God has actually created us, flesh and blood, in a state lower than the angels, for the purpose of demonstrating that his power works in anybody. And as we've noted, he's actually turning the curse into a blessing by taking creatures created lower than the angels and making them greater than the angels by means of his word. And that's what happens to us. So when it's all said and done, angels will report to us. Now that may sound crazy, but that's true. You are greater than an angel as you sit there now in your position in Jesus. Now, experientially, no, not so. But positionally, yes. That's where you're going. And that's where the unity in the church is. Because every church-age believer will be in that status. The greatest of the previous dispensations is less than the lowest Christian. Sounds crazy, but it's true. So you got loser believers in the church-age that not on any basis of anything that they've done, but purely on the basis of grace, are placed in that position of honor. Even though they're complete losers. In other words, you could be a person who lost all of your assets at the valuation of Jesus after the resurrection. And you're still greater than John the Baptist or Abraham or David. Shocking, huh? Yeah, it is. It's pretty amazing. That's what grace is all about. So we're discussing the cosmic system, the arrogant demonic thinking that's comprised of the lies and deceit from the cosmic demonic viewpoint. Since the fall in the Garden of Eden, separated from God in the darkness of spiritual death, has become the basis of the thinking of the entire human race. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 2:14, where the natural man... See, we're programmed. We're pre-programmed from birth because of the imputation of the old sin nature to... imputation of Adam's original sin to the genetically formed old sin nature. Get the order right here. At birth, along with soul life, to be disoriented to God. So God actually sets, he locks, the word the scripture uses is we were locked up in sin. And the reason we were locked up in sin is so that God could convey grace. He did that so that the power would come exclusively from him. That's the doctrine of depravity, which a lot of people don't understand. That it doesn't mean that you can't do good things. When I say good, I put that in quotes, because good for who? And Paul talks about that in Romans. Not before God. You know, so other people may respect that or regard it, and it may well be okay in society. And he uses Abraham as the guy describing that process. But it's not before God that you have this good. The only way you get that, you get good from God is to believe in Jesus. You see, it's imputation. So the righteousness of God that we receive on the basis of faith in Christ Jesus is the coin of the realm, not what we do. And God did that on purpose, so that it would be all accomplished by means of his power through his grace. That's why he did it. That's why he's able to promote us above the angels. It's all about him, not us. And we're just a tool or a channel for that reality. So that's the 1 Corinthians 2:14, where natural man does not accept the things of God because they appear foolish. Why? The value system of the world rejects the grace of God. Okay, that's what it does. It doesn't understand it. It's not, the natural man does not have an affinity towards that viewpoint. So they reject it. And then we have Revelation 12:9, where we see that Satan is the one who deceives the entire world. So we, all of us, start out in that state of deception. And God did that on purpose, so that we could be exited from that deception on the basis of faith in Christ. So that's the process of common and efficacious grace, which we've studied at length in the not too distant past. We stopped last time. Right now we're going through various categories. We discussed the doctrine of Cosmic One, which is arrogance. We're going to get into Cosmic Two when we get done with this segment. We've got a couple more to go. And Cosmic Two is where Cosmic One is basically metastasized into an evil that, so far as I can tell, you can't get out of. I don't know. I mean, again, you can almost say nothing's impossible with God. Technically that's true, but he doesn't violate volition. So if your volition becomes the gate for having reconciliation, when it is, then it ain't going to happen with some people, because they won't change their mind. So the fact that people are irrecoverable from that status is not because of God, it's because of them and their choice. And that's, you almost have to say that's the status of the fallen angels. The Bible tells us that. That they aren't ever recovered. And the words that are used in the Greek to describe it are eternity. So, it's not ambiguous. That's what the word clearly says. And so the question you have to ask yourself, why? You know, if God can do anything and everything, and he's omnipotent and omnipresent, and he's got all the bases covered, why wouldn't he be able to deal with that? Well, it's because he's set volition up as a parameter that can't be compromised. That's why. So he cannot deny himself. That's where it goes. So the power that protects you as a believer in Jesus Christ is the same power that condemns the unbeliever. And they're unbelievers because they are remaining in cosmic system somewhere or another, either by complete not caring, or they've actually actively got there in cosmic too. So whatever. that's how it works. We have to take the Bible for what it says. And we may wonder, but we still don't have an answer. The Bible just tells us. Sometimes if you look back through Scripture, you see that God's disclosure is incremental. So there's information that we don't have about what's going to happen that it will be revealed later. So who knows how that might play. And it's not really matter, because we have everything we need to have to go where we're going right now. And we don't need anymore. So we go with what we have, and that's the basis of our teaching. So we're discussing the arrogance category of psychopathic arrogance. And this is endemic to our country today, where these categories of arrogance kind of get advanced as you move along. the further, there's about 10 of them. And the more metastasized they become, the further along they go, the worse they are. So they kind of all hook together. Last time we looked at sexual arrogance. You see, that's endemic You know, when marriage is no longer defined the way God defines it in the Garden of Eden, you got a problem. So when the genders aren't defined the way God defined them in the Garden of Eden, you got a problem. And then, of course, that leads to criminal arrogance, which we talked about last time. And then now we're into psychopathic arrogance, where your brain gets twisted around that your arrogance. And so now your viewpoint is entirely warped. Truth is not truth, and lies are not lies when you get there. So people are living in unreality. Now, if anything, what's happening today, I ain't seen nothing. Right. So we got lots of that happening, especially at the high positions of power in our country, with the exception, of course, of our prez, who's an island in this ocean that's surrounding him, and it looks like the island is about ready to take over by global warming. It's going to sink. You know, not that it's going to happen, just playing with the game. But the point is, that's about what it looks like. He's got no friends anywhere. Nobody stands for him, except for the people that voted for him, who understand what's going on. But the politicians, they're out to lunch. Pretty bad. So we noted that psychopathic arrogance is a volitional drive toward unreality in a normal person. In a normal person, the emotions are under control of the dominion of the intellect that resides in the mentality. So the problem is emotion takes over the thinking, rather than the thinking driving emotion. Well, what's the source of the emotion? Old sin nature. See, the emotions come from the flesh, and they invade the soul. See, emotion is not part of our thinking life with God. God doesn't have emotion. He has the things we have in our running in the soul, where we have rational thought. But he doesn't have emotion. We do. And emotion is given to us to help us appreciate things that happen. So it's given as a blessing. But what happens with things that God gives as a blessing? Satan turns it into a curse. And if you look at what God gives man from the get-go, you go through the things that the Bible gives, God gave to us in His Word, all of those things are perverted by Satan, and they turn into a curse. Now, God flips it over and turns the curse into a blessing. You know, that's His prayer. Remember, that's what He does. God turns the curse into a blessing. So we got to realize, under the basis of grace, that's how He operates. But you got to orient to the grace of God for that to happen for you. So that means we have to not only believe in Jesus Christ, we have to have the doctrine necessary to deal with that adversity. So this is where doctrine comes in. I mean, there's some problems in life that just can't be fixed because of lack of doctrine. I know people that have a problem with rebound. Well, they say it don't work. Well, yeah, it don't work for you because you don't know what to do after you rebound. That's the problem. You gotta learn the doctrine. See, it ain't just rebound, it's rebound and keep moving. So once you did the deed, you do have to acknowledge it. That's the scripture clearly states that. So, or judge yourself in some manner or fashion where you're evaluating your situation. You can use different passages to describe the event, but whatever, doesn't matter. The point is, you got to take responsibility for the choice. And then, you got to change. You got to do something different. What did Jesus say to the woman caught in adultery? Go and sin no more. He didn't judge her. He said, I don't judge you. Well, he will. You got to realize that wasn't where he was going to judge. He came, remember, Jesus came to save. First Advent. He was the sin offering. First Advent. So don't get messed up about Jesus not judging you. He's gonna evaluate some as believers, because there's no judgment on the house of God except for what we're having right now. And in the great white throne, for the unbeliever, there will be judgment. So there is an evaluation coming. Regardless of where you're at in this picture. But at that juncture, at that point in time, while he was being readied for the offering that God was going to do with him on the cross, he wasn't judging. He said, go and sin no more. But did that take away the responsibility for her to listen? No, it didn't. If she was going to be benefited by her interaction with him, she needed to follow his advice. Okay, whether she did or not, we don't have a clue. It's not our business. But it will be his at the right time. And he will evaluate it one way or the other. So it's a question of how it plays out. Again, for the church, there is no tech. The word judgment isn't quite exact. It's more of an evaluation, because there is no condemnation on us. Why? Because we're in Christ. See, that's the blessing we receive because of the imputation that we receive. So emotional people are running on the basis of old controlled sensate nature control of the soul, by definition. Okay, so if you're in emotion, if you catch yourself there, just know right now you're out of line. That's something you need to take up with God, because doctrine don't go there. You see? Now, can you have an immediate emotional reaction to something that causes you grief? Yeah, that's legitimate. But it doesn't become a lifestyle. The Bible says what? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Okay, so be angry and sin not. Those are the kinds of principles. You can say the same thing about fear, worry, anxiety. So the point is, it doesn't become a lifestyle. God understands our situation, and really the point is, you need to be operating on the basis of doctrine regarding that circumstance. And then you won't have the emotion. At least it'll be minimal. So in a normal person, the emotional life always blends with the intellectual life so as not to disrupt the rational function of life. God designed the emotions to respond to thinking on the basis of the contents of the frame of reference, the memory center, vocabulary, and categorical storages. So this is where doctrine comes to the aid. If you have a doctrinal frame of reference, you're going to evaluate circumstances in view of the word. And it's not going to give you as much hassle as it would otherwise. Because you know that people have a right to be wrong. All right? And you let them be wrong. Now, there's rules. We talk about that. When a person's right to be wrong crosses divine establishment, then we've got issues potentially. And if the government's doing its job, there may be some price to pay. Now, these days, the government's not doing its job generally, so it doesn't happen. You wonder why people don't get prosecuted. It's because the government's not doing its job. Well, we had this happen in Chicago just recently, right? I mean, if that isn't a miscarriage of justice, I never seen it. Okay? That's the government failing to execute proper authority in that situation. And that's evil. But it ain't our job. It's God's job to fix the government if it's going to happen, and he's probably not going to bother. Because God is allowing negative volition to take over the country at this juncture, it would seem. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see. Emotion has no ability to think or rationalize, and is not related to cognizance. Emotion is simply a responder. The mind in the normal soul is designed to control the emotion and make the emotions responsive to certain things in life. So the idea here is that God gave us an emotion to respond to rational, doctrinal thought. In that case, your emotion is positive. You see? That's what God's expecting. Just imagine, Jesus is on the cross receiving the imputation and judgment of the sins of the world. And what's his response? Happiness. Now, if that ain't antithetical, I ain't seen nothing antithetical. He's getting hit with everybody's sins, yours and mine and all the worst people in the world you can imagine. All right? And he's in a state of happiness. For the joy. Hebrews 12:2. Set before him. You see, the reason he was happy was not because it was fun. It was a pain. It was very hurtful. He was crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he was happy. Why? Because that was the linchpin in God's plan of grace. That was it. That hooked it all together. I mean, we talked about a nexus a couple weeks ago. That is the nexus from which everything drives. Everything drives through that. Because God looks to us through the cross, and we look at him through the cross. Because of that work of Jesus. And so he was sewing the whole thing together right there. The whole mess that had been fragmented by the rebellions, Satan's and Adam's, was being sewn together right there at that juncture. And he was purchasing reconciliation on the cross because he was being judged. Now, reconciliation didn't occur there. Don't forget that. Reconciliation occurs when you believe and when you acknowledge sin. Okay? The provision for it was bought right there. That's where the paycheck was. That was where the check was written, baby. The money was deposited on the bank right there. And the money that was deposited, just a picture of it, the funds or the resources deposited on the cross at that juncture were greater than the sins of the entire world combined. And the fact that more sin there is, the more the money goes, bigger. Paul talks about that too. So you can't out-grace God. You can't out-sin God's grace, is the point. You see? God has it covered. Grace ultimately abounds to the point where it overcomes and completely resolves it all. Okay? That's God's unfailing love towards us. And for all mankind, for that matter, except, of course, those who say no. Not interested. Not interested. We got folks like that. So that's their business. And God allows them to be in that state. In the psychopathic person, this normal subordination of emotion to the intellect is not present because of cultivated arrogance and cosmic involvement that results in a drive towards unreality. So these people, in cosmic involvement, that's where the cosmic system takes you, have standards of thinking that are completely disconnected from reality. And that's why this is really kind of an important discussion right now, because our country is becoming connected to a standard of thinking that's disconnected from reality. If boys ain't girls and girls ain't boys, you got serious unreality going on in your head. Okay? And there's all kinds of other ones. That's just a real obvious one. Right? You got a third type of individual who doesn't know what he is. I don't think so. The gene pool says otherwise. You've just said that you don't want to believe the truth. You become a fool because of that. Not dumb, not an idiot. Got to use the right word. A fool is a person who's very smart but is totally disoriented to truth. That's the problem. They've rejected truth. And so as a result, it drives them crazy. And if you haven't noticed, that's what you got. People that are crazy. They act it anyway. Psychopathy is a general term for mental disturbances or mental disorders that are generally characterized by egocentric and antisocial activity. So these individuals are completely self-absorbed. And it causes them to be antisocial. And often criminal. Psychopathy is also specifically for certain mental disorders characterized by emotional instability, perverse conduct. Why is that? They're completely unhinged from truth. That's why. There is no right and wrong for these people. They've rejected it. It's not like there isn't. There is, but they have rejected it, so it's not for them. That's why you have, it blows my mind when people say this, but they, well, we have a white legal system. How's that? It works for everybody. The people who wrote that document were agnostic regarding that. So that's saying that our legal system is based on divine establishment. Now, if there's issues, I'm not saying every application of it is perfect. It's not. But nonetheless, the principles there are agnostic. And the words are equal. Not equal results, equal justice. In other words, the judgment is not perverted based on one's race or anything else. You see, that's the point. And that goes right back to the Word of God. So it ain't white. It's divine establishment. It's Christian, if you want to give it a title, because that's where it comes from. So, but they say that. Why? Because people of certain groups, subgroups within the country have decided to disorient to that reality. And since they have disoriented to it, it doesn't work for them. Well, it does. It condemns them. They don't want to hear about it. But they're right. They're off, completely off their rails. Because it does work for everybody that tries it. Every time. So there ain't no such thing. I mean, does that mean there's a black Jesus? Or a Spanish Jesus? No. There's one Jesus, and he happens to be white because he's Jewish. All right, so they're going to blow that away too. I mean, if you want to talk, have an archon of our country, you can go back to George and the boys if you want. But you know, the big one is Jesus. Well, that's being put down too, in case you hadn't noticed. At least indirectly, what he says is being rejected, and that's getting pretty close to rejecting him personally, right? Right. And what's it say about that in the Word? Fools. Fools, because you rejected all truth. So as a result of this, you have undue conceit, suspiciousness, lack of self-control, lack of social feeling. So you're completely insensitive to people. But you're hypersensitive about yourself. Now, if you hadn't noticed, that's a big factor today in our country. This Me Too movement is full of that. It's all about hypersensitivity and insensitivity. These people are bipolar, is what it is. we'll be talking about that. Lack of truthfulness, lack of common sense, and lack of persistence. So basically what happens is that they get caught up in this and they completely tune out. They disconnect. That's why we have such a big problem with drugs. And video games, stuff like that. And they become, I mean, if your life becomes a video game, you got a problem because you're not dealing with reality. You can create your own reality within the concepts of the video game, but there's typically rules there too, I would guess. Not that I play them. But I'm just saying that. They're talking about some new video game that's causing some people some grief. Whatever. The point is, you can go crazy on anything. You know, it's nothing new here, really. It's just that people have become self-absorbed, and that has become their outlet for their negative behavior. The psychopathic person likes to surround itself with others who also lack common sense. This is why you have people gathered together to get with of the same ilk. And who are also moving towards delusion and reality from emotion rather than rationality. This is the herd or mob mentality. It's what is going on in political correctness in academia today. So that's what's going on there. These people are all of the same viewpoint, for the most part. And they get to the point where they attack people who are opposite. So there's supposed to be a place where information is discussed rationally. And people get to learn other ideas and decide ultimately what is right. But now everything is locked down. So if you don't comply with the selected political correctness, then you're persona non grata. To the point where, you know, you don't have a reason to live. Well, that's what's going on. And this is being amplified because it's being foisted on people who don't know any better, the kids. What are they going to do? They're buying a lie because they've been taught the lie. We'll have a passage on that here shortly. It's the one in Matthew. Jesus was there. He saw all this. The unreality that the Pharisees and the leadership of the Jewish people had in his time is identical to what we've got. There's nothing new going on here. Nothing new. The Bible explains exactly what happened and why he got where he went. Because of the unreality associated with the Jewish leadership. You know, they were involved with enabling him to go to the cross. That was what happened. And of course, God was putting him on the cross. So, he had to get there. You know, they didn't have to participate, but they did. And they did because of their psychopathic function. They were nuts. And if you don't think so, read what happened just before he was taken over and handed to Pilate. At that trial that they held at night, the illegal one, or one of the illegal ones. Arrogance under pressure produces psychopathic behavior, and psychopathic believers are characterized by motivational arrogance of cosmic one, and they have vanity pride, jealousy, hatred, vindictiveness, implacability, a guilt complex, fear, anxiety, and abnormal motivation that constantly seeks revenge. So that's the case of people who are caught up in this. That's what they look like. You know, and even believers are prone to this, minus doctrine. A society of arrogant people, such as in the USA, is becoming psychopathic personalities, and psychopathic personalities are endemic to our fragmented society. So what's happening is we're fragmenting along the mobs associated with the psychopathic thought. See, that's what's happening. It's balkanizing our country. Now, I've talked about how our country doesn't have a homogeneous gene pool like other countries do. If you look at all the other countries, you have a border. God defined the borders of the countries. You have a language associated with that group of individuals. And you have a culture that has derived from the norms and standards that the individual groups have adopted based on their homogeneous function. In other words, you go to England, and for the most part, until they got invaded lately, they had a pretty common picture of the way they viewed each other. The same is true for most other countries in Europe and across most of the world, even Asia. Middle East, certainly, big time. And Africa, even. But you come over to the Western Hemisphere, and you don't have that. To that extent, although you have it more in some places than others. The United States, because of the way framers of our Constitution were racially agnostic, they established a concept basically of the spiritual culture. That was the church. So the race of the United States is the church. And what is the church? No Jew, no Greek, no bond nor free, no male nor female. That's the basis of our country. So the culture, our country's culture is established on the principles of the church. The new royal family of God are basically the species associated with the United States. And to a lesser extent, some of the other Western countries. But we're the big one. We're the beacon on the hill, as George W. Bush, I think it was, said. So the point is, we are that way, not because we're anything good. No, it's not about us. It's about the thinking that we adopted that came from Scripture. That's where it came from. And you can take that thinking anywhere. Most pathetic place on the planet, you can take that. And the people in that locale will adopt divine viewpoint thinking from Scripture. They will be graced out of their mind within a few generations, just like we were. And you can take nothing and make everything out of it, out of nothing. God, that's what God's in the business of doing. He does that with each of us individually, and He'll do that with us collectively if we have positive wish. And of course, the inverse also happens. If we cease to think the way we should be thinking, then the whole thing is going to fall apart. Because there's nothing holding it together but doctrine. See, that's the thing. If you go to Europe and you shut down the country's doctrinal thinking, they still have what? They still have a language, unless they've been invaded lately, which they basically have. And they still have a border, kind of maybe, to the extent that it's still standing. And they have a homogeneous society. And that's what's holding them together right now. That's why you have standards in countries that otherwise would have been destroyed, that holds it together. Ain't going to happen here. We are completely fragmented, and we will be fragged when it happens. So don't be surprised. I'm not certain how it's going to play, but it's going to play. You know, let's hope it doesn't go that way, but it's got to. Eventually it's going to, one way or the other. Because eventually Satan wins. He's running the show. So eventually he's going to be winning the game, because what happens after the church is gone? The tribulation. And that's max full throttle negative volition. No, all the limits are off. You know, you're driving a NASCAR and you got throttle limits, which is why they all run the same speed. It wouldn't be that way if everybody was allowed to run full throttle like they did in the old days. There'd be people running away like there ain't nobody close. No, they'd probably be crashing too, because they can't stay on the track going that fast. But that's beside the point. That's why they throttled them back. But they have these throttle plate limiters. And if those engines were allowed to make full power, you ain't seen nothing yet, man. You're talking thousands of horsepower sitting under that thing. Crazy. So, I mean, that's why they have the new rules, which keep everybody kind of even. So, whatever. It's not as fun to watch. But a good place to compare it is go to a drag strip. Put that on a NASCAR track. See what you got. All right? Because they could do that. They did. They used to back in the day. So there's a limit. That's what's going on here. The church is limiting the downside of the cosmic system. The Holy Spirit through the church and doctrine. During the tribulation, all those limits are removed. And it's full blast negative volition. You can't imagine how bad that's going to be. It's going to be incredible. Bad. We aren't going to be here. So thank God. But it's going to be an interesting time. That's coming. That's coming, okay? So we know that's where it gets. Because Jesus Christ is in the business of turning a curse into a blessing. And He's going to turn that curse into a blessing too by showing up and shutting it down. That's what He's going to do. In emotional arrogance, as emotional arrogance replaces rational thinking, abnormal psychopathic people find their environment so filled with categories of arrogance that their personal drive toward delusion and unreality seems perfectly normal to them. And if you're seeing people around you that are nuts, that's what's going on. Okay, and we got a bunch of them in Washington. This is why we have so many insane wacko ideas that have previously been rejected being accepted as true by so many in our country. Often people who are psychopathic are actually driven thereby arrogant people. Especially arrogant people with self-righteous crusader arrogance. So these people think they are doing God's service when they kill you. Isn't that something that somebody else said once? I think Jesus said that, right? These people are going to think they're obeying God when they kill you. That's how psychopathic they can get. So don't be surprised. No, we ain't reached that point yet. Unless you're in Iran, or China, or North Korea, or a bunch of other places on this planet. They're already off the rails. Russia, maybe? Greater or lesser extent. The arrogance of legalism is one of the greatest contributing factors to this problem, especially among believers. So legalism contributes to this. And of course, what is legalism? When you think that your standing before God is based on your goodness. And you're trying to conform to some set of standards that are based on your goodness to be accepted by God. Now that's complete unreality. Because you don't know who God is if you think that's possible. But there's a lot of people living there. They think they can be moral, and that morality it causes God to accept them. So they have a whole other facet for their psychoness. Psychopathic personalities are abnormal and hypersensitive, so they are very susceptible to emotion from pseudo-religiosity. So religion, see, a lot of times these things that's why religion is characterized as the worst of sins. Paul characterized himself as the worst of sinners, and the reason for that is he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He describes himself. He had a pedigree, it was a mile long, relating to the Jewish protocols, the ritual. And he was in a position of power regarding that. And of course, what's he call it? He has a word for it. It's called Skubalah. You can translate that yourself, but I'm not going to go there. That doesn't matter. The point is, that's what he called it. And of course, what that was him trying to be good so that God would accept him. Which is what he was doing. And he understood that. I mean, that's why when the Word of God, when Jesus Christ struck him down on the road to Damascus and he got clear on grace, it flipped his brain. Because he was operating in this basis. He was psychopathic. Remember, he was the hitman for the Sanhedrin, killing Christians. That was what he did. So he was completely, and what did Jesus tell him? Why are you persecuting me? That's what Jesus said to him. He looks up at Jesus. Me? I'm your guy. I am your standard of reference here, baby. I am keeping the law. And whacking these people that aren't. So that was a complete reversal for him, right? He realized real fast that he was flying that plane upside down and it weren't happening. And he got it right really fast. So when he believed in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit started renovating his thinking, boy, it was a lot of doctrine that it could just flip right over and it could fly that baby right, which is what he did. See, that's why he was uniquely in a position to convey the doctrine of the church, because he really understood. He understood the legalism and the principles of the ritual of the Jewish system as much as anybody could. And he also recognized the fallacy of it, the fact that it was not an end in itself, but rather a means to an end. See, that was the big problem with the Jews to this day. They thought they were an end in themselves. They ain't knowing. None of us is an end in ourselves. We're a means to an end. The end is Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Okay? So Jesus was adjusting the protocols as we went along because he had a different mission for the church. The mission for Israel had been done. Jesus came. He was born. He went to the cross. Impeccable. He died. Was resurrected. And you guys still think that plan's in play? Ha! No! It was terminated when the Holy Spirit showed up. Acts 2. Right? It's church age now. We got a whole other thing going on here. And yeah, there's principles from the Old Testament that work over here in general. But the protocols are totally different. And you got to deal with that. And it took him a long time. Paul got it instantly. The lights went on in his head so fast it was crazy. So that's why Peter says, if you really want to get this stuff, go listen to Paul. He'll twist your brain, but he's got it nailed. You know, Peter and the boys didn't even get it hardly. Because they didn't have the frame of reference for it that Paul did. The environment for all this abnormality is created by ignorance or distortion of doctrine. To the point where people are completely mixed up but they don't know it. See, that's the problem. You have people with doctrine who don't know how to apply the doctrine. People who go to church to learn and listen, but when they actually get to doing it, they don't know what they're doing or how to do it. That's the problem. You see? So, and the big factor there is missing grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is a key factor. Walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust patterns of the old sin nature. That is how it's done right there. And how do you do that? Keep acknowledging any known sin. And then walk by means of doctrine. That's how. You see, you gotta stay in the plan. So Jesus faced this same problem. This is the passage I was mentioning. He answered and says, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Now, in the context, the plant is a system of religiosity. It's a church, or something like a church. It doesn't even have to be a church. It can be the Green New Deal, or whatever. Take your pick on ideas you're going to develop a religion around, but any one of them works. You can use some system of anthropocentric human viewpoint. Whatever. I'm just saying, take your pick of rules and establish your own list of rules and regs, and now you got a church. Now, you may not believe in God, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. You establish a religion. That's the plant. The plant which my heavenly Father did not plant will be uprooted. Now, that's everything but him. The only one he planted was Jesus. Let them alone. They have a right to be wrong. That's what those words mean. Let them alone. They have a right to be wrong. They're blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, they will fall into a pit. So that's the destiny of that outfit, unless they change their mind. See, he faced this straight on. We got this exact scenario going on in our country. And for that matter, the entire world. All these false systems of pseudo-religion that may or may not be a religion in the technical sense, in the sense that they don't even believe in God. They're God agnostic. But nonetheless, they have a set of rules and regs based on their self-righteous arrogance and crusadersism. Ain't no different. It's the same. Peter said, explain this parable to us. And Jesus says, are you still lacking understanding also? Did you not understand that everything that goes into them... See, they were whining about the fact that these boys were eating without washing their hands. Oh, such a sin. Sounds familiar. Such a sin. Was it a sin to eat without washing your hands? No, it wasn't. And see, these guys... goes back to our first verse. They are straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. That's what he's talking about here. Do you not understand that everything goes into a mouth, passes into the stomach, and is eliminated? So the gastrointestinal system is perfectly capable of handling the garbage that goes down there, as long as it's not too whacked up. You can't get sick too, though, if you eat the wrong stuff. But for long enough too, but whatever. But the things that proceed out of the mouth, here we get to the core. The things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, the thinking. And those defile the man. So it's what you think that defiles you, ain't what you eat. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. So they had made a legalistic system out of the technical protocols associated with cleanliness. Along with other things, a part of the religion of the ritual plan. And they neglected, and Jesus was constantly harassing them, they neglected the grace parts of the Word of God as it was rolled out in the Old Testament. And they neglected their responsibilities in those areas. And not only that, they were going after people and killing them and stuff. You see? Nothing new. That exact same thing's going on right now in our country. Exactly the same. So, but the religiosity may be different. They had a fake system of religiosity. It was derived from the principle or some of the principles of the ritual plan. And what did Jesus say? Teaching, we talked about that. That was our first and second verse. Teaching is doctrine, the commandments of man. You see? That's what's going on. So psychosis refers to a mental disease or serious mental derangement. It is a psychiatric term that does not connote the legal concept of being insane. See, if someone says you're insane, the court can tell someone else that you need to have somebody run your stuff. So they appoint somebody because you're nuts. Okay, that's a legal word. So some person, people can be psychotic without being insane. And even if they are insane, they don't refer them to them insane because there's legal connotation. But there can be. Now that's getting thin. Just throw them with a gun. Because pretty soon you're going to be called psychotic. And they're going to come after them. And take them away. Okay? Coming to a school near you. State. Colorado comes to mind right away. And New York. Close. Thing almost the same. So these, if you violate some rule and reg that they have, they're going to call you psychotic. Take you for a judge. Well, not even take you for a judge. They're just going to show up and take you a stuff. We're not far away from that. Typical characteristics of the psychopathic believer include a medical category of instability that involves imbalance from a lack of biological equilibrium. We're not talking about that. That's when you can't walk because your ears and stuff aren't working right. It includes a mental category of instability that involves being bipolar, that involves being self-righteous in prosperity and having self-pity in adversity because of a lack of a stable, rational, doctrinal viewpoint. So people who, you know, have these huge swings. Oh, they're just giddy and happy and everything's going down the road for them. Good. Okay. Ooh, everything's, I'm good. We're happy. Then 2 days later, terrible. Bad things happen. And so they're constantly in these swings. Bipolar disorder, it's called. Well, people do that because of they think that they're accepted by God when things are going good and they think God hates them when they're not. Where's the doctrine in that? There ain't none. See, that's a legalistic viewpoint that's false. But a lot of believers have those kinds of viewpoints. And a lot of people, believers, are psychotic and bipolar because of it. Because their frame of reference doesn't recognize grace. They don't understand the basis of their standing before God. And it ain't them. It's Jesus. You see? Churches, born-again believers, and well-meaning Christian parents with locked-in legalism often provide this kind of derangement because they are so involved with their own arrogance that they've actually established an environment for others, including their children, to move step-by-step into their drive towards unreality, into a psychotic condition because of their bipolar, emotional, egocentric reaction to prosperity and adversity. So people actually foist this crap on their kids, well-meaning people. Okay, so if you, I used to attend a church like this. Not everybody was wacko, but some were. Because of the way that they viewed themselves before God. And it was wrong. But many churches, there's a good one that they kind of is like this, and I would say the Catholic Church is like that. Except they wink at all the sins of the priests. Or at least they used to. Not so much anymore. But see, that's coming out, right? The whole thing's coming down. House of cards. The arrogant category involves egocentricity regarding everything in a relationship to oneself. It's a locked-in self-centeredness. It's a status quo of grieving the Holy Spirit in Cosmic One that often leads to quenching the Spirit in Cosmic Two. So in grieving, you're actually having an unreal view of reality. And in Cosmic Two, you're actually performing based on that unreal view. That's the difference. So you've amped it up. So that's why, again, Cosmic One, it appears that you can, well, I know you can get out of that one. Paul got out of that one. Paul was in Cosmic One as he was doing with his, he was doing against the church. He wasn't in Cosmic Two, though. Cosmic Two would be Judas. Alright? You know, you say, say what you want about that guy. But that's where he was when he did what he did. Not only did he have a false frame of reference about what Jesus was supposed to do, he knew who he was. That's what's interesting about Judas. But then he actually actively went on a crusade against him and aligned himself with the Sanhedrin, which is what enabled Jesus to be captured in the garden. You see. So he was in the Cosmic Two at that point. Which is why he never came out of it. What did he do? He hung himself. Alright, now you can think he's a believer or not, don't matter to me, one whit. I can make arguments either side that will stand up. I don't care. Because it ain't my business. So the point is that shows you the end game there. Egotism is an excessive love of self that divorces the individual from reality to the point where eventually mental disorders occur. Well, it looks like time has caught us, so we'll pick up here next time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provide for us to study your word, for the blessing it is, because it allows us to perceive the reality of the unreality that's around us and make good decisions from a position of strength on the basis of reality. Help us to recall and apply the doctrine as we face the challenges that you allow to come our way from this unreality. And we ask this thing in Jesus' name, amen.